Breakfast with Pat and Heels for Imar Insurance. Get an online quote and instant cover anywhere, anytime. Visit imar.com.au.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome, Heels. We're ready. We're a week out from the test match week, aren't we? Are you pumped?
Yeah, I think it'll be great. I just wish the weather forecast was better for this week and we'd see a lot more cricket than is expected.
You want them out there today, don't
that's
you?
That's all.
Rip the covers off and go play today.
Well, I know both wickets are ready. I was out there yesterday, as was Zorks. Good morning, Zorks.
Good morning,
he was out there running around madly while I was sitting there watching and talking on the phone. Sorry.
I'm surprised you took the call.
Yeah, that's right. I'm back to talking now. The pressure's off. They're starting to make some decisions and doesn't matter about my guesswork. But, just get your eye on the weather because mid to late week, very heavy rain. And so don't waste today. I wouldn't waste today. It's up to them what they want to do. But I'd be up in Brisbane getting on that wicket today, playing against each other. England are playing England A, or the Lions, on Ian Healy Oval. And then on the other ground, Pettigrew Oval, Australia are playing Australia A. Both of you get there quick because that could be your last practice session on centre wickets before you go into the Gabba Nets next week.
Yeah, the Aussies had a good centre wicket at Metricon on Saturday, I think. The England guys were at the Gabba wickets. And you knew you were our spy. You were in at the Cricketers Club Friday and said, maybe get the cameras over to the Gabba. I saw them preparing a couple of
that's how you do it, Zorks.
You learnt your lesson.
It was ringing in our ears, wasn't it? How dare you not tell anyone? But no, he rang me.
Unlike Zorks, who watched the entire England team train. And
what a session it was.
Mind you, I didn't volunteer anything. Paddy rang and said, would you have any idea where they might be? And I went, oh, not really, but I tell you what, yesterday when I was walking into the Gabba for a luncheon on Friday lunchtime, I did see them rolling two wickets out, you know, and they look really green. So Australia, they won't be there. They're on the Gold Coast. It's probably England. Mm. So, and there they were, Paddy, eh? They had a good head out.
Mm-hmm. So we were there. We got a little bit of sleuthing on Saturday. Yeah.
Did you actually go down?
Oh, no.
It's quite good watching
punting day. Heels,
watching early practice sessions on new wickets, and more than likely they've got new balls, bowling with new balls, the quicks, and you just watch how many times the batsmen square up, get hit in the inside thigh, get hit on the gloves, those sorts of things. It's not a nice sort of session for the batsmen to look forward to.
You weren't looking for any training around on Saturday, Zorks? You were?
I wasn't.
In bad company.
Was he bad company? Alfie?
Well, that's exactly. Did he mention the fact that he is now the 21st legend of Australian on Queensland sport?
Well, I did walk in there calling him a legend.
He was quite happy with it. Settled down.
Only me. No, it was a really good day down at the coast. Obviously disappointing there was no races on, but it didn't stop the
fun and frivolity.
Yeah.
There were southern meetings to be concentrating on.
Yeah.
A tough day at Sydney on a wet track. Melbourne, there are a couple of outsiders got the cash.
Mm. You mean for the jockeys?
Yeah, well, it was a big day for Bossy.
You're thinking about yourself, aren't you? thinking about the punters.
I'm a punter. That's all we think about.
Yeah.
Actually, we speak of jocks. I mean, the farewell that Bossy got, even though Spanish Mission was beaten, was just fantastic. He finished up shirtless, running around.
Did he?
It was unbelievable. It was great. They cheered him through a parade of all the jocks there. Yeah. They obviously love him, as do the Australian punting public and just the general public. I mean, three Melbourne Cups, so he comes into the consciousness of a lot more than just racing fans when you do that.
Yeah.
So everyone in Australia knows him. At the age of 52, you know, he kept it pretty quiet. I've got to say, he did an exclusive interview with Bruce McAvaney last week, and they announced it that way, and because he only had the one ride on Spanish Mission, which was a hot favourite, wasn't it, Brixie? And look, he gave Spanish Mission a really good ride, and the horse just couldn't get over the top of them. So, and then the celebration started.
Oh, the champagne.
He was giving away his silks. He gave away his vest.
Did he stand up in the stirrups even though he came fourth?
No, he didn't do that. No, he wouldn't disrespect them like that. I mean, he didn't win the race. He would have, I reckon.
Yeah, when he came back to the circle?
No, he was just waving and smiling and, you know, throwing everything. Virtually every bit of clothing par his pants went into the crowd. It was fantastic.
And now, has it been revealed, you know, what did go into his retirement?
Oh, no. He's complained for the last couple of years that he's had trouble finding rides. He's gravitated a bit between Sydney and Melbourne. He came up here and was based here during the winter carnival. Just, you know, I think there could, you know, underlying, there could be a bit of animosity there that some of the top trainers didn't give him as many opportunities as he would have liked.
Mm.
Because, you know, we all regard him as one of the great riders.
He's worked very hard in the last probably 10 years, I suppose, on his fitness and core and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And probably always did, but didn't have to do it so religiously as an older man. But, geez, it's happened quick and he's in good shape.
I just wonder if so many apprentices are coming through these days. You can get 4-kilo claimers that, you know, trainers are happy to put on heavier horses, and unfortunately someone's going to miss out.
So the mission came forth.
Yep. Well, one departs, Bossy goes, and we've got a new world champion arriving on the Australian sporting scene.
Cambosis.
Yeah. Madison Square Garden. You don't get too many like bigger stages than that.
It's all kombucha.
But someone told me about him late last week, saying this bloke's a fair chance. It's 6-1, they reckon.
Yeah,
and I said, we've heard that before when they go to America. 6-1, yeah.
Yeah. He, in a two-horse race.
Wow.
Rank outsider. They just didn't rate him over there, the Americans. So, well, this was the announcement yesterday afternoon.
And the new IBF, WBL, WBA, WBC franchise and Ring Magazine lightweight champion of the world, George Ferocious Kambosos.
One of the biggest upsets you will see.
Was one of the biggest upsets you will see. So then there was quite a set to in the ring afterwards, because Teofimo Lopez didn't believe that he'd lost his title.
And seemed to take it well, eh?
And then proceeded to tell George.
Hey, hell of a fighter, but I won tonight, man. Everybody know that. The referee raised my hand. I won tonight. I don't care what anybody says, yo. I won tonight.
Did you believe this was a close fight going into those last two rounds?
No, I don't. I don't believe it was a close fight at all. I believe that at the end of it all, I scored 11-2. Well, 10-2.
You believed you won 10 of the 12 rounds?
Yes, I did.
George?
Listen, you got to move up, bro, because you're a bit delusional, brother. All right? Listen, I got the belts. I won the fight. I won it clean and clear. Look at your face. But you know what? I give you respect. I came here. I gave you the respect in the ring, and I won the fight. I got the belts. Take it like a champ. Move on. We do it again in Australia. 80,000 people, me and you, brother. What a war we'll have in Australia. Let's do it again.
Where's Australia? That's what he's saying.
He'll know where Australia is now, because he's going to have to come here and fight if he wants his titles back.
Is he? Is there no one else lining up?
Well,
for that?
It depends. I mean, they might try and match them in Vegas or somewhere like that. They'll go where the money is.
So that was Madison Square Gardens.
Yeah.
How good would that be?
He must have had a few head knocks, old Lopez. 11-2, he reckons. Why is it, I counted 11-2.
Why does your eye look like a beanbag?
Well, he put him on his backside in the first round, and then that got everyone's attention. Didn't get a 10-8. Count from a couple of the judges, though, which a knockdown round is normally a 10-8 round.
So what's that mean? They thought it was a slip.
Well, normally rounds, if they're both standing at the end of the round, normally they're judged 10-9. Okay?
That's right.
Yeah, so no, it wasn't a slip.
And why didn't they count it as a knockdown?
Well, if you look, I don't know whether there's conspiracy theories here, and they will abound. It doesn't matter. He's won the fight anyway. But Dan Raphael is one of the most respected writers in the world. He said, look, probably Lopez, you know, had the better of the first round, but was knocked down. So he wasn't disputing the 10-9 call. But usually, when there's a knockdown, it's a 10-8 round. But regardless, I mean, he's won it. And, you know, he's now put himself in the pantheon straight away.
I'm the greatest fighter in Australian history, and that's no disrespect. I've got all the belts.
Who's that in the
background?
That sounded like Jeff Fennec. Jeff Fennec, didn't it? But I'm sure he's saying that at home, going, the best rider in history, mate. There's a few that'll have a little line up there.
Yeah, we can throw up a couple of names.
Who would you throw up first? Who's the earliest one you could throw up?
Lionel?
Lionel Rose.
And he's fighting Harada. Yeah.
Was Famichon this good?
Famichon was great.
Yeah. He's done this sort of stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, good.
You got Mundine in there?
And Costa. I haven't got Anthony Mundine. But he outsmarted every boxing pundit known to man. You know, he won a title or two before they then said, he's picked the weakest division.
Yeah.
Hang on, you should have said that while he was picking the weak division. And he didn't. He fooled them all. So
I'd love to get Grantley Keyser on the show. You know, the Courier Mail writer. He mad, obviously, on his boxing. He was in Phoenix Corner for so long. But he's a great judge. So it'll be interesting to see where he puts this one. I mean, it's obviously a hell of a win.
Mm.
Famichon Rose days, there was only one world title. And you won the world title. But now what's he won yesterday? The WBA, four. The IBF, the WA. Ring Magazine's even got a world title now. So, yeah, I mean, every child player wins a prize. But he's taken quite a few. So they said he was on a couple of million for this fight. So, I mean, you're talking serious money now.
Mm.
Serious money. Mm. So, you know, whether they bring it to Australia, whether COVID allows, and yeah, they may well get 80,000 at a venue. If Vegas comes calling and say, well, here's 10 million to fight in Vegas, you fight in Vegas, don't you?
You fight in Vegas.
Mm. That will be a dynamite fight, that's for sure. Hey, righto, what about cricket? It's holding up. Well, first of all, congratulations to the Scorchers. They won the WBBL against the Strikers. The Adelaide Strikers sort of run through the eliminator and the semi came to an end. I thought the Scorchers were excellent. They put their egos away. Mm. They're playing on Optus Oval, which bounced, and it takes some adjusting when you first bat there. And Beth Mooney and Sophie Devine, who's the Scorchers, you know, the way they've got so convincingly to the final and number one, they batted, you know, carefully.
Mm.
They didn't come out and try to smash the Strikers, and they did enough. Then they got themselves out, but they'd set a bit of a platform that lower in the order, Marizanne Kapp is one of them. She came in and made 30, and Heather Graham. So they got enough. And it looked a wobbly total.
Mm.
And the Strikers then came out, and they got stifled at the top of the order. And the way they'd got to the final, Mack and Van Niekerk, they stalled at the top of the order and got out. And they could never get there. So Strikers gone, Scorchers win their first.
And the mighty Bulls, we've knocked up winning in South Australia. They go retailing in the Shield match, and then Matty Renshaw just went crazy yesterday, 156 not out.
And Alex Carey, what Renners did, what Alex Carey probably wanted to do. You know, they both made 100 off 95 balls, but then Renners goes 156 off 109 balls. And Alex got out just after 100. So, God, Renshaw, he came out and really meant business right from ball one.
You remember yesterday when I was just 5 metres away from you and you were on the phone. Is that what you were talking to George about?
No, but Renner sort of gets himself into that area of number five now, doesn't he? He certainly moved along the bench nicely because, again, he's demonstrated I can bat time. I can be a dour batsman if that's what the situation needs. And here, have a bit of this. I can now play aggressively as well.
What does a one-day ton do for Carey? I mean, he's been out of touch in the longer form of the game. Or do you just pick your gloveman on who is the best wicketkeeper?
I think this one's coming down to glove work because it's not a batting decision. Carey's a great player and his batting's really nice. He's a really nice batsman. And he's done a great job as the understudy for the last, three or four years in cricket. But Inglis is on the way up. His 18 months has been very powerful with the bat as well. So it will come down to who they believe is maybe the future, I suppose, because he's younger, and the glove work. And I've got no idea. I haven't seen enough of either of them recently to know who's gloving the ball better than the other.
Well, the Aussies, the bulk of the Aussies are about to leave quarantine on the coast. They've probably got another 24 hours. I think they may be out tomorrow. Andrew McDonald spoke yesterday, assistant coach. Not overly worried about all this talk that they're, you know, so many of them are coming from the T20 format and now have got to sort of put themselves in five-day mode.
It's always going to be a a shortened prep and, you know, less than ideal switching formats and quarantine and all that sort of stuff. But I think that's, you know, the art of modern day cricketers to be able to adapt to that and make sure that they're ready to go for the first test match. And there'll be no excuses from our end, and I'm sure there'll be no excuses from England's end as well.
Brighton Homes open line. Brighton Homes include aircon, flooring, steel frames and solar as standard. Discover today why it's better with Brighton. So if you'd like a chat about any of these topics, and we've raised a few in the first quarter hour of the show today, 13 13 55, we'd love to hear from you. Or you can text us, thanks to Love Family Lawyers. A love is all you need. 0467 736 736. That's 0467 SEN. Now, footy.
Well, AMAC, when he spoke at cricket, you know, he sort of was quick to say Alex Carey's 100 was one-day 100. He sort of said, oh, it's good form, but it's one-day form, but any form's good form. And you're telling me Josh Inglis is speaking today.
Yeah, well, I was talking to Cole, the media manager, on Saturday, and I said, what's the go for the Snoop Dogg?
Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, we talk to the media managers regularly, just sorting out what's happening, because we've got to rely on them a little bit to get vision of training, because Cole's actually in quarantine with them. He was in the Middle East, in the UAE with them. So he said, oh, we'll send something in. He said, I might get a couple of words with the new skipper today, just so you can use on the news tonight. It'll either be the coach or one of the assistant coaches. As it turned out, it was Andrew McDonald yesterday. He said, probably Monday, Josh Inglis. I said, Josh Inglis. Should I be reading anything? No. He jumped down my throat. He said, no. He said, I didn't really use him as a media target in the T20 World Cup. So he said, it's just his turn to chat.
Put up the squatty.
Mm. Yeah.
The squatty the week before the Ashes. Although it's long enough that, you know, we won't hear from him again, probably.
No. Well, you never know.
No. That's all right. They're going to be up again. They're going to have a keep-off at Pettigrew Oval at North there in a couple of days' time.
Hey, listen, one thing I did want to play onto the rugby league very quickly. We know Brandon Smith's been on his whistle-stop tour of the east coast of Australia to every club. Apparently, they're all involved now. So if you throw in Penrith, throw in the Eels.
They're all
having a crack. Well, see, they don't know what's happening with Coruscant at Penrith. So they may be looking for a gun hooker as well. So he started up in Townsville. He's just moved his way down the coast, playing golf, going to lunches and meeting the coaches.
This one seems to have taken his heart, though.
Yeah, so we've all been trying to get a word from him. And he spoke to YKTR Sports, isn't it, on a podcast over the weekend. And it was quite a telling interview, to tell you the truth.
I think that the best thing about the Roosters is, bro, they're about your life, not your footy. Like they want you to be set for life.
Yep.
They don't want you to walk away with nothing from rugby league. And, like, they just push that and, like, they can tell you how they're going to help you in life rather than help you in footy, because the footy, if your life's good, footy's good.
Mm.
And, bro, it was just mind-blowing. They took me into the league. So they had a presentation as well.
Mitchie Orbo come through, did he?
Mitchie Orbo almost made me cry. I'm not even kidding. Like, how he spoke about the club and, like, what they have done for him and, like, the history of why they wear that jersey, why we play the way we do. I was just looking at the Roosters jersey as he was saying it. I was at, like, goosebumps. I was looking at it going, I want to win a premiership in that jersey.
That's some big words. How smart is he? You think?
I'm obviously pretty smart.
I reckon pretty smart.
Yeah. He's overdone that on purpose.
You reckon?
He's going to go to Melbourne. He's going to stay at Melbourne.
No, well, to be fair, he always said that Craig Bellamy will have last shot.
Yep.
So he's listened to them all, as I said, you know, and, you know, obviously Wayne is well and truly in the running with the Dolphins.
No, they're out. They put him on a pedestal. They put him in the public. He didn't like that at all. So is he too smart? Is he okay? Are they in? Are they? So he didn't like them. That's what I've read. It felt like he was on show. So he's overplayed the Roosters. Mind-blowing. I want to win a premiership in that jersey. Huge, huge words, you know.
A few of his teammates play there. Warrior Hargraves from New Zealand. So
yeah, well, he was out golfing with him. Yep. The Mitch Orbo that they're talking about is Mitch Orbison.
Mitch Orbison, yeah.
Yeah, and Jake Friend, they were a little golfing four ball, and then, you know, apparently dinner at the Trent Robinson's house.
Who
it's all
is
been
it?
Very cosy.
Oh, I know.
Yes, and who is a wonderful historian on Samoans, Tongan, Maori culture.
Yeah.
So they've gone in great depth to talk to a candidate, that's for sure.
All right. As I said, there's
plenty. Uncle Nick was ringing from LA.
Oh, yeah, just checking on their welfare. Oh, fancy. Yeah. Oh, Nick Politis is on the line.
But he did mention he didn't think they had room in the salary cap for the first time in the history of the Roosters.
Oh, yeah.
Percy reckons that that Brandon's also been spotted at the Mudgerah Bar Redback.
Yes.
Brighton Homes open line, 13 13 55. You can text us. Thanks to Love Family Lawyers. Love is all you need. 0467 736 736. That's 0467 SEN.